Good morning, and welcome to the midweek devotion, Coffee with Ann. I finally gave in. Pumpkin spice coffee. The sample was just too delicious to ignore. I think the secret is to have it strong. I will try it out in the morning and let you know. In the meantime, enjoy yours as I enjoy mine. Controversy and disagreement and sadly violence seems to be everywhere in the world, in our country, in our state. This group against that group and that group against another group and on and on. I hope not in your neighborhood or at your place of work. But if you just listen or read the headlines only, there is one event after another filled with anger and an absence of love. The world in Jesus' day was much the same, and folks felt powerless to change it. It is hard to see how a single soul, humble and politically powerless, could make a difference. But then, almost out of nowhere, a man named Jesus, the Savior prophesied about, showed up. And he, Jesus, began to teach about a better way of life. The people were hungry to hear about a way of life that offered a glimpse of heaven, a place of freedom of spirit, respect, love, generosity, and lives were changed. Kindness and smiles increased and were offered to all, and the numbers grew and problems were resolved with loving wisdom. A staggering statistic David shared recently was in AD 33, the time of Jesus' death, there were somewhere around 50 believers. But after 300 A.D., there were 6 million. Think for a moment. A movement that changed the world started with 1, then 12, then a few dozen. 1 kindness, 1 sharing at a time, with acceptance and respect, and a loving spirit, by more and more, became soul after soul. I remember as a young child being in love with this person, Jesus, who was kind and loved the children. The world had not yet thrown doubt my way. Then as an adult, I was a believer, but not in touch with the Lord on a personal level. Then I was introduced to the forgiving God, to the God that was personal and approachable, to the God who believed in me and the good in me, not the bad or sinful me. That was gone. I remember that joy in my soul, that hunger and thirst for the relationship, the enthusiasm, the all-in, the innocent trust and belief. I was humbled and wanted to be led by Jesus. I had found the God I had been searching for. In Matthew 18:2-5, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He called a little child to him and placed the child among them, and he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position, the humble position of this child, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And then in Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." But look at us now. What happened to the child in us? As we grow older, our self is molded by the false importance of status, power, self-preservation. The innocent trust and powerlessness that allows us to depend on the Lord instead of ourselves seems to fade. What happened to the child in us? Why have we left behind an open heart for all the little children and all the big adults? I'm sure we all can come up with a pretty accurate list of the negative influence that focus on how different we are and dismiss the truth that we all on this earth are children of God first before earthly influences take over. Martin Luther King Jr. pointed out in A Christmas Sermon on Peace, 1967, when Jesus said to love thy enemy, Matthew 5:44, he was not talking about friendship love, nor was he talking about romantic love. He was not talking about deep liking and appreciation. He was talking about what the Quakers and William Penn pledged to the Native Americans during colonial times. How even though we are very different, and we come from different countries and different cultures with many different languages, we have a common human experience that we can show each other and that we can come to respect. I wonder, if we put our minds to it, could we rediscover the qualities we came into this world with? The qualities of humility and dependence that made loving Jesus so natural. Gaze into the eyes of a 4-month-old or a 2- or 3-year-old and see love overflowing. We are born to love and be loved, to hug and be hugged. There are lessons to be learned, of course, like sharing and controlling temper, but we are easily molded with love and kindness. The world works on us all our lives. It works on me, trying to remember the innocent, trusting child in me is hard to do. Perhaps we could recapture a tendency for love, unselfishness, acceptance, excitement with life by spending some quiet moments visualizing, sitting with Jesus on a bench as he tells stories about loving others, resolving disagreements respectfully with kindness, and carrying that discovery into our walk each day. Could the conflicts at least diminish? What could be accomplished if we took loving and accepting, respecting of each other seriously? It begins with one, then 12, then dozens. Let us pray. Lord, as we wind our way through the paths of earthly life, help us to focus on the reality that you genuinely love each one of us. There is no stopping your love, your acceptance, your open arms for the heart who longs to submit to your open arms. As a young child has no reluctance, may we have none. May we walk our path sharing your love even in the difficult situations and with difficult people. Remembering your love softens hearts. In your precious name, Lord Jesus, amen. Thank you for being with me today, and may the Lord bless you and yours.